Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are you living a nobler life? How noble is it? And how can you live nobler? So we're going to find out about how to, let's say, make the best of yourself. With the author of a wonderful book. I'm so excited about this book and other books that he's written. But this book is called A New Now. And I'm so happy to have a guest as a guest on Energy Stew, Michael Goddard. Michael, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you very much, Peter. I'm so glad to be with you.
Well, we're talking about what a nobler self can be, because people, I think, would aspire to that. And your book has lists, incredibly beautiful lists of what to address to live as a nobler self. So, I want to leave it in your hands also to help our audience understand what that means.
Well, all of us come in here with a mind attached to a soul. We are actually not our minds, although most people think of themselves often as their minds. But really our true essential essence is the soul, which is the spark of the ultimate divine being of love and bliss. And to operate in the fields of mental and physical spheres, we had to take association of the mind. And so what has happened throughout all our existence is that we've been pulled away from our true nobler selves. Our lower minds have become enslaved to our senses, so to speak. So in my book, A New Now, I talk about higher mind, habitual mind, and lower mind. And the lower mind is the part of you that is just really a victim of your senses. You can't, when you come out with a cutting remark, when you backbite, when you're mean, when you can't stop actually eating potato chips, even though you would prefer not to, it's really not having the freedom and independence and the will to act in your best interest. What I call the habitual mind is the mind, the part of you that shows up, like getting to work on time, taking out the garbage, brushing your teeth. Now your higher mind is the part of you that wants to be good, to be of service. It's the part of you that expresses the virtues, basically. So this is a simple way of explaining that our minds are a vast sphere of activity. You can even talk about it as weather. You can talk about it as thunder, lightning, storms, sultry breezes, you know, beautiful, perfect days. People can change their mental atmosphere from moment to moment. So most people are very reactive. And also most people are actually, they're dominated by their lower minds. That's why there's so much strife in the world. And each of us has been given the most precious gift imaginable. And think for a moment what that might be, because each of you possess it. And that is your human life. And as we found out recently, you may be secure in the knowledge that you'll be here for 20 or 30 more years, but actually you leave in a month. So you never know what's gonna happen before you cross the street or from one day to the other. So this is our opportunity to make just incomparable spiritual progress in realizing the best person that we can be. And I'm not here to advocate any particular path or way of doing it. What I want my writing to do is to empower people to live the best lives of increasing awareness, bliss, and love in a nutshell.
No, what you said actually sparked something in me, because I've had some tragedies in my family of young people dying that at their funerals. What do people talk about when we die? What is it that people have seen in us that they care about when we're gone? And are we living that? You know, what do we want to aspire to that is that nobler self that people, when we've passed, speak about? You know, they don't speak about, necessarily, I mean, they might, talk about some of the details of life that we were caught in and et cetera. But so much is thinking in terms of the nobler parts of us that they remember. And so I think it's good for us to think that way, to say, how do I want to be remembered? What is it about me that is meaningful that I can, that I'm doing in this life that is important to my soul and to the souls of others?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your higher self, your nobler self is the part that can contribute to other people. Whether it's just a loving look or helping somebody financially. And Anu now really is a self-participatory course in taking you through the 33 wisdoms, which are the loving wisdoms, the guiding wisdoms, and the 11 evolutionary wisdoms. And it's a very practical book in that you can apply it to so many everyday situations. It's a book to help you navigate as much experience as possible, to help you show up as the best person possible, but also to make best use of your life and realize your best destiny.
Right, and there you have all these wisdom lists in the book that I love. And it's like, okay, I want to achieve more wisdom and look at all these opportunities. And so let's just talk about wisdom itself. What does that mean?
Well, wisdom is really using your highest mental faculties from moment to moment. It's much more than knowledge. It's a state of knowing that partly comes from experience, but very much from what you can call intuition or your higher consciousness. And it's really a direct link to the higher being, to God. It's when you act with full wisdom, you're actually acting with inspiration from God or whatever you want to call that highest source of consciousness.
Right. And so a lot of our audience can think in terms of all the smart people that they hear from day to day on this planet and wonder, how come these people are so smart and stupid at the same time? It's because they're not wise. So we look for those smart people who also have wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, you can have somebody really smart with 5 advanced degrees and give you the worst advice possible. I mean, I'm sure we've all heard stories of misdiagnoses and supposedly learned advice that's led to disaster. So what we're after is not only wisdom, but enlightenment.
Well, right, and it's hard to define enlightenment. Yes. Other than that somebody's coming from a place, let's call it love, that they're exuding a oneness, they're exuding an inclusion, that they include you in their importance. They include everybody. It's collective. It's a collective mind that wants everybody to win. And when people are coming from that, and I mean, there are a lot of phonies out there who say they're doing that, but we know we can, we have to in ourselves be wise in who we're listening to and what they're saying, and be smart enough also to do our own homework and be wary, because there's a lot that we need to be wary of in this world now.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, during COVID, there was so much conflicting information and disinformation, and just a franticness. I was very blessed. I mean, having written this book, that really helped me get through COVID. All but one of my local friends fell away. I literally, since COVID began, I'd only seen one local friend until 2 weeks ago. So unlike a lot of people who might've been crowded together, I was in the opposite situation. I was living really as a total hermit, which took some adjustment, but I had this sort of tool bag of skills and knowings that I could draw on and adjust my mental atmosphere. So it was ended up being a really good time for me. And when I had to come to all these decisions, like, what are all the little steps I need to take to get through shopping so I get home and feel safe and am safe? That was a very tricky thing to figure out because I didn't want to get sick.
And yet we can come from a different place, because I was totally confident throughout the whole thing and was taking the subway in New York all the time. And, you know, I didn't quarantine myself, and somehow I just never felt vulnerable and still don't. And so, I think we have to trust, that we know how to take care of ourselves properly.
Right, and I really had a strong conviction that I wouldn't get ill, but I decided for my peace of mind, it would be better to take these steps.
Right, and that's the most important thing, is to have peace of mind so that your vibes are high enough and strong enough that your body is healthier that way.
Right, and I mean, it's good to gather information and use your best sense of intuition or knowing. It's just about what information you should take in, but it's really all about taking care of yourself in the best way possible. I mean, rather than running to five people for advice and getting confused and choosing, what one of them prescribes, it's really getting to the place of knowing what is your true path. So yeah, That's very much what the book is about. It's about freeing yourself from all the down-pulling beliefs and mental activity so you can discover and tread your own authentic path to the authentic you.
But it's also the surrender, because as you said earlier, we could, step off a curb and it's the end of things and shocks us that all of a sudden we're kicked out of our bodies.
Well, right. I mean, you can't predict what will happen. I was telling the person in my last interview, I was an English person in my last life. I was a spiritual seeker, but also a co-owner of an office supply company. And I lived through the Spanish flu. I was living in London at the time, but I was able to actually spend much of the time in the country with my parents. I was fairly young. But so I survived the Spanish flu, but like 19 years later, I did catch the flu. And it got worse and worse. And I thought, well, I just need some fresh seaside air. So I got to stay in a friend's relative's apartment in Arundel, which is on the coast, south coast of England. Well, lo and behold, I died in that apartment alone. Nobody knew I died there. So like all these years later, to my great, all of a sudden in the middle of the night, I realized I'm going to die and it's too late to do anything about it. So we don't know. What's going to happen?
Right. So, I guess we just need to trust the process of our eternal lives. You know, we are, we're going to be going on to many, many, maybe infinite lifetimes, but not necessarily on Earth and not necessarily in human form. And, it's, we have soul journeys we have no idea about that we can surrender to and not hold on. Because the other side, many people who have been on the other side and come back through near-death experiences or hypnotic regressions, really love it over there. So.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Earth is an absolutely tough training school. We have really hard challenges, and even for those of us who are privileged and maybe well off materially, we may have huge mental and physical hardships. But I actually, in my spiritual memoir, In Search of Lost Lives, I'm mentioning this because you bring it up. I write about lives not only on Earth, but on two planets I lived on before Earth. And the people there were far more spiritually evolved. The lives were far easier. This is really a hard knock school you get to go to.
Right, so, and many people are here from other planets in previous lives. And they've come here with the gifts of those planets and moons, et cetera, to help us. And I think in the future, as we evolve, we'll be able to understand the wisdom that these people bring from other places in the universe.
Right, but also you develop wisdom within yourself. Like one point I make in the book is that on my first planet, the great majority of my lives, I was a woman, whereas on Earth, I've been almost exclusively a man. But being a woman provided this wonderful foundation of compassion and empathy and all these great feminine qualities I've been able to basically kind of take with me and build on. Well, so we're really on a journey, and you can have no idea who you were in the past. But the other point is, often you do. You may get nudges of intuition, you know, feelings of deja vu. So it's really all a question of awakening and finding out who you really are. And the essence, of course, of each of us is pure love.
Right. And so that's really what keeps us whole, mm-hmm. is dealing with this difficult planet is how much we can understand the oneness nature of love and how it holds us together, not only within ourselves, but with each other too.
Yeah, I mean, if it weren't for, I mean, things wouldn't exist without the underlying love, actually. It's actually the underlying life current, the audible life stream, which is really in everything, even inner objects, has that life stream, which is, you know, the essence of which is love, but which is completely beyond language in our mental processes.
So right. It's how you hold it. It's not how you think.
Yeah, I've kind of delved into kind of an esoteric topic, which is actually mentioned in both of those two most recent books. And that is some people in English call the sound current. It's also the word of the Bible. You know, Indians may call it Shabad. Every culture has had advanced masters and saints that recognize this sound current, this mystical creative power of sound and light.
Right, because everything is math, everything is code, and so it all functions in sound and light and the information of sound and light.
Right, and humans are equipped with the spiritual senses of seeing and hearing to contact God in this very lifetime.
Well, no, your book is such an opportunity for people to find the flow, you know, to get into all these nuances of all, you know, that are in so many lists in your book of different wisdoms and equilibriums and
really visions. And questions you can ask yourself. I mean, one of the wisdoms is the wisdom of asking questions. And there are some very profound questions that can really help you grapple with your life or very mundane situations. You know, maybe you're spending time with people who are not the best people for you, and you're just with them out of habit or loyalty. Maybe there's somebody you're too shy to get to know better who may be a great connection for you.
Right.
So I go through each day asking questions of my higher self.
And even today, I was realizing that I never questioned myself when I was marrying my first wife. Oh. And that's what did me in, because should have asked a lot of questions of myself and her and life, and it wasn't there yet.
Basic truth sharing. I mean, I remember a president who picked the vice president without meeting him or asking any questions. So, I mean, people go through life not asking questions. And basically, I had a friend who thought she was being set for life marrying this doctor. And it turned out he was way over his head in debt and had all kinds of agencies after him. They didn't sit down and have a heart-to-heart, really honest talk. So there is a great wisdom in asking questions. And I asked some unusual questions you may not have actually thought of before.
Right. And I always say that the smartest people in the world are not the people with the best answers, but the people with the best questions.
Right. Very good.
So, yeah. And that's why I love to interview my guests, because I have a lot of questions.
That makes you a great interviewer.
So you have the information. I just can ask.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of putting together some talk and appearing before 1,000 or 10,000 people, it's something I never would want to do. But to sit across, you know, from someone like you who loves to ask questions, I love doing that. I feel very comfortable. And I don't know what's going to pop in my head. I can't quite remember everything I've written or most of it. So
right. The questions inspire your answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's wonderful. And I'm the same way. I can't just do monologues that easily. It's nice when somebody's there asking. So what are your books? This book is a new now, and I think it's a treasure for people to have for real self-realization. But then again, you have another book that talks about your past lifetimes that you've analyzed and you've been able to see and talk about, and that's fabulous too, because it teaches us about our life journeys.
And it also gives people a window, because one of the interesting things I do is I list a number of my idiosyncrasies I had growing up as a kid and teenager, aversions, inherent, really strong inherent abilities, and I link those to specific experiences in past lives. So I show how all your individual past impressions are not the result of some arcane exotic genealogy, but who you've been in a past life.
Right, and even the past lifetimes will help you choose your genealogy to support
that can also be the case. That can also be the case. And I also want to bring up something to your initial question is, you know, how can we be our nobler self? And in my first book, Spiritual Revolution, that actually provides the whole foundation of spirituality. It's the 52 principles of spirituality. Wow. So if you're really wanting to create a great spiritual foundation on which to build and go forward, I would recommend that book as well.
Spiritual Revolution. And and what I love about that book and this current book is that you really know how to articulate these lists, these numbers, and makes it easy for our mind then to sort through things.
Well, I have an MFA in creative writing, but what I've really endeavored to do is make it as clear and accessible as possible. Just so one sentence will follow the next easily.
Yeah, and that's what I see in New Now is that it's so easy to hold and actually to inspire to read more, you know, because I look at almost every page, I go, oh, good, you know, I want to know more about that. And so I'm encouraging people. And you have a website, and you have a lot on your website too, right?
Yeah, the website is Goddart.com. That's G-O-D for God and D-A-R-T for Dart, Goddart.com. And think of a dart, a love dart coming from God. So that'll help you remember the name. And I've got excerpts from all my books. I have free media interviews. You can download the Journey Journal, which is really a very important companion piece to the book, because so many of us have read practical, inspiring books, maybe remembered one or two or three things, and then at least I've forgotten them after a week or two. The Journey Journal, or whatever you want to call it, is simply a Word document, but it's a very valuable tool for being a companion on your spiritual journey. And I give full advice and instructions in the book, Anew Now, on how you can choose to work with it. It's very much a self-guided journal you can download.
Oh, that's wonderful. And so it's great to talk with someone like you who is so inspirational for us to really believe in ourselves to get higher.
Get higher in the real way.
You know, that's what I mean. Is get into our nobler self more, mm-hmm. and love it more, and love our lives more, because of the greater discernment we have.
Yeah, and I know we've all heard this a million times, but you know, great change begins with you. So you know, if you want to improve the world, and improve yourself first.
Right. And so on that note, I want to thank you so much for being on Energy Stew. And I really enjoyed talking with you so much.
Oh, yeah, I've so enjoyed meeting you, Peter, and you're a wonderful host and questioner. I look forward to coming back.
Oh, good. Yeah, I look forward to talking more with you. That's wonderful. Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.